This isn't really a whole lot of a sermon. Don't know if you noticed the opening screen that we had, but let me get a little further here. Oh, yeah, the teenagers are now going to. But this time of the year, church calendar, and there is such a thing, has seasons. And this is what's known as the season of Lent. So it's kind of the time now maybe I should wait for that to settle in first. Excuse me. It's kind of the time for turning to the Lord, really doing what we can do to seek Him. It's a season of seeking God. I love the words on here. I mean, it just, you know, resurrection, things, vacation, world. It's Lent time. It's a Lenten season. Now, we oftentimes don't, when we think of Lent, what we always think of is giving up something. And so, some of these, why is it so dark in here? Oh, I gave up light bulbs for Lent. I feel so much better. Or this one, fasting doesn't mean eating fast food. He's got his McDonald's there. Or, hey, what did you give up for Lent? I gave up being cranky and obnoxious, if it's anything to you. Or, since she gave up Facebook for Lent, she's got no idea what's on her mind. And finally, so what are you giving up for Lent? And the guy says, voluntarily or involuntarily? So we're all kind of giving up things for Lent. So, and then other people look at it and go, well, Fat Tuesday is the big thing. I mean, what they call it down in New Orleans is Mardi Gras. And it's the big celebration before then you have to go and do all of these fasting kinds of things. But in fact, the church has many seasons. And there's a church calendar, and I don't want to go into that in any detail. My short version of the sermon that I'm doing will just say that there's just Passover and unleavened bread. These are all feasts. So along with the fasting time, there's feasting times. And so when we reach Easter, which is the central holiday of our church, the Christian church, that these things will be important. Let me stick with this for a second. One of the things you might stop and go, well, wait, we're the Vineyard. You're talking about Lent. We're not Catholics. Well, why is the Vineyard looking at Lent and prayers and those kind of celebrations? Well, there's something about the Vineyard, a characteristic I don't know if you know about. I've been wanting to tell you all this, but someone wrote a book about the history of the Vineyard movement. And what the name of the book was, The Quest for the Radical Middle, A History of the Vineyard. It's by Bill Jackson, actually Dr. Bill Jackson. And you go, what the heck is the radical middle? That sounds like, you know, an oxymoron. How could we be in the middle? Well, I want to tell you how we see churches. I got a little diagram. Again, bear with me, I'm an engineer, so I like graphs and diagrams and stuff. But there are four essential kinds of churches out there. There's liturgical. Liturgical is high church. They like, communion is often the center of their church. They have a lot of rote prayers. It's like Catholics, the Episcopals, the Anglicans. They're all the liturgical church. Pentecostal churches are the kind of church that, their focus is on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but to the extreme. And a lot of them that say Church of God, Assemblies of God, those are all Pentecostal churches. So they believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that is the driving force amongst all of them. Now, there's various shades of all this. Evangelical churches, the best way to describe it is the Baptist Church. That's an evangelical church. They believe in the absolute, in the importance of the Word of God, the Bible. The Bible is it. And then finally, there's social justice churches. That's one you might not have heard that term for, but they would be mostly ethnic churches in the U.S., often African-American churches. Their focus is on some sort of social justice. The African churches led the way, African-American churches led the way in the civil rights movement and that kind of thing. We believe in the Vineyard that the one that's the best is all of the above, and that Christ reigns in the center of this. And ours is a quest for the radical middle. So we believe in the Pentecostal church and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Word of God is just absolute. It's the driving force. We believe in social justice, and we want to help the poor. We want to find those who are downtrodden. And we believe in the liturgical. And we're after any form of ways that we can get drawn closer to God. That's the quest for the radical middle. That's what God is calling us to. And so we're looking at Lent, and we're seeing it as a season to do stuff. I like this. I found this slide. Lent is a verb. It's not. It's I Lent, you Lent, he, she Lent, we Lent. Lent means we're doing stuff. We're about getting, doing stuff. And the stuff is not just, oh, just to do it to be holy or to win favors with God. It's to clear our deck so that we can seek God better. To get things out of the way and to do things to connect to him. One of the things that we want to do is we want a time in which we do what Jesus did. So Lent is about doing. It's about doing the stuff on Thursday. It's about doing the stuff in our own quiet bedroom, in our closet, our prayer closet. It's about doing all of those kinds of things. We want, because God is calling us back. Joel says, let me read it off of this version. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart and fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. He relents from sending calamity. God is a loving God, and he's saying, turn to me, my people. I want you to seek me. One of the ways that we can do that is what some people call the spiritual disciplines. I've got another whole big, experiencing God through the spiritual disciplines. Here's another whole list. There's basically two kinds, two categories. There are things that you do, spiritual disciplines of commission. It's a time in which we can go and we can study the Bible, memorize scripture, go into meditation, do some journaling, confession. You can do prayer. Actually, I don't have it divided up this way, but prayer. Things that you do, disciplines of commission. I'm going to do more to reach out to God. And then there's disciplines of omission. There's things I'm going to not do so that I have clean space, room, time for God. Those include solitude, silence, fasting, frugality, sacrifice, simplicity, chastity, secrecy. I don't know if you've heard of secrecy, but what secrecy is isn't that we are all going to become some sort of a sect or cult to keep things secret. That's not it. Secrecy comes off of us doing stuff for people without them knowing or without anyone knowing except God who did it. That's the gift of secrecy. That's spiritual discipline. I like to let people know when I give money, it's a matter of us doing something for someone and they not have any idea who did it for them. It's a spiritual gift of secrecy. So these are things that we do, stuff We have time, we have money, we have strength and energy that we clear to be able to seek God. And that's what I'm calling us to do. I want to have us do each and every one of these things. I've shared this at least one other time to folks here, but in the Thursday night group got these already. But these are a prayer card that Paula and I got when we were down in Texas. And there's a morning prayers, which are called matins, is that right? And then evening prayers on the back, whoops, I've got them shuffled, but anyway, that, do you know the name for the evening prayer? Complaints?
C-O-N-T-L-I-N.
Yeah, that. So anyway, I'm just suggesting and maybe offering that you join us because we're doing this every day. And anyone wants these and you don't have one, let me know. I'm going to put them right out here. And you can pick them up and take them with you. It's what I do every morning. At least I have one where a place where I start my prayers. And I believe I put this, okay, that's where, I'm going to go back to that another time. But here, this is what it is. And for instance, the morning prayers start with the invocation is two lines. Open my lips, O Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. Now, at as almost as much risk as Serena took, I'm going to sing this for you. So you can cover your ears if you want, but the way that you sing it, and it's just these two sentences you sing, is you go one note until the last word you go up. And then on the second line you go one note, and on the last word you go down. So it's, open my lips, O Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. And you do that three times. And it gets you kind of in a mood. And then Thanksgiving is the next section up here. And it says things like, to be alive, simply alive. Actually, we know these by heart now. And you pause and you think about being alive yet. And especially for those of us older, being alive is sort of like another miracle, another day. But to be called your children. And then you think about that. Sometimes I think about it for 3 or 4 seconds. Sometimes I think about it for 3 or 4 minutes. Depends on the day and which item. To be called your children, to be called by you, Lord Christ, to be led by your Holy Spirit, to be held in your great love, O Father, to have the beauty of creation around us, to receive the blessings of community. Pause on each one. For this, our deepest thanks, amen. And then there's a Lord's Prayer, and it says, Our Father in heaven, be lifted up. This was Dave Nixon who wrote this, and he does a house of meditation, and he led us in our retreat. And he rewrote the Lord's Prayer. Actually, there's two different versions, one on front and one on the back. And actually, rather than reading it all, there's a Lord's Prayer. And then you go into today's gospel, psalm and gospel. And I've got an online link I can give you that will show you those. And I usually do my prayer time in front of my computer. So, or you can just pick a psalm and pick a gospel to do. And then a closing prayer. And the closing prayer is kind of like this. It's hand gestures. So it's Almighty and Eternal God. So draw my heart to you. So guide my mind. So fill my imagination. So control my will, that I may be completely devoted to you. Then use me as you will. Use me for your glory and for the welfare of your people. And this I ask through Christ, amen. And then you sing the doxology if you know that, or you don't have to do that. But anyway, it's just something to join us together in. So I would just encourage you to do something in this Lenten season. It's the days between now and Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday is the place where we arrive. The Easter Sunday, a lot of people think Christmas is the big holiday, but it's not. Easter is the big Christian holiday. Without the resurrection, we are, as Beth Moore said, we're just a bunch of idiots. And so we don't want to be that. We want to follow the Lord and do what he calls us to do. So, this is the website. It's actually Ann Arbor Vineyard has it under Divine Hours, but I can give you the link to that if you're interested. But what you have, I was trying to show the whole thing, but this morning psalm is there, and a reading is the gospel reading. And I just go on to get those two. I don't do, this is another whole form of prayer. But I just want to encourage you just to take this season, a season to really dig in and go after God. We're seeing what the young folks are doing. I have a secret. It's somewhere between tremendous excitement and a little bit of fear, but I see the young folks coming in and taking over. And that's wonderful and scares the bejesus out of me too. So I don't think that conversion will happen in even a year or two. It's going to be longer. None of us are ready to go out to pasture yet. But because these kids, I got two more minutes. I got to tell you this. Paula and I were really seeking God 10 years ago, saying, we're supposed to plant a church. We don't know what it is. And we got this name for a church, and it wasn't the Monroe Vineyard Church, that we finally blew off. And it was called Turning Leaf Vineyard. And Turning Leaf, I don't know if you know anything about Turning Leaf wine, but Turning Leaf is in the fall late when the frost is starting to hit and the leaves are starting to turn and the grapes that haven't been harvested yet start to maybe even pucker a little bit. Because at that point, they are the sweetest. They have the highest sugar content of the whole time. And we felt like we were going to be Turning Leaf Vineyard people. That is, older people, this was our sweetest time. And then we saw a vision of us joining a group of young folks, us with wisdom and mileage on our lives, joining with energy and strength of the youth to have a church that had the best of both worlds. So don't tell them we're doing that, but that's what I see God doing. So you will be shot if you tell the kids.